Hello and welcome. It's our number three, a rare boxing monologue on our number three, George Foreman. Foreman taking shots at Mike Tyson for his comeback at age 54. We parse the words of Big George, who made all that money selling those grills. It's boxer on boxer crime, some verbal haymakers from George Foreman, who's in his 70s now. It's coming your way here in hour number three.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Ben Maller Show podcast. It's me, Ben. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight from 2 to 6 Eastern, 11 p.m. to 3 a.m. Pacific, right here on Fox Sports Radio. You can find your local station for the Ben Maller Show over at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Boxer on boxer crime, if you will. Welcome in the beginning of another hour. We'll do it live, even on Thanksgiving. We are in the air everywhere, coast to coast, border to border, on the vast and powerful microphones of Fox Sports Radio, the Ben Maller Show emanating live. The filibuster continues inside the Magic Radio Box, also known as the Geico FSR Studios. Hope you're having a good Thanksgiving. It is Thanksgiving, but it's not really yet Thanksgiving. And we welcome you in here, and we've got a big hour radio. We will see if we can pull off Ask Ben later this hour. That's your questions, our answers. So we'll see how creative Bo the show can get. If you would like to submit a question, I don't know if we have too many of those, use the hashtag AskBen, and we might use your question on the air. I think the odds are in your favor, I would say, at this point. But we'll see if we get enough questions. We'll do at least one segment of Ask Ben. And if not, we might do two. We'd be a lot of questions. We might do two questions, or two segments, rather. We won't do two questions because that would be we don't have a lot of questions at all. We usually have a fair amount. So Ask Ben on Twitter if you want to submit a question. Just get your burner account going. That's all you have to do. All right. So this hour, aside from the NFL and college football coming up this weekend, NFL today, college football over the weekend as well, the big event for many is in boxing. Specifically regarding the pugilistic efforts of one Mike Tyson as he steps back in the ring at age 54 against 51-year-old Roy Jones Jr. It's going to be a spectacle. It's going to be a spectacle without fans in La La Land at Staples Center. There'll be no human beings there cheering on the event. Everyone's got a hot take on this Mike Tyson return to boxing, and the one that stood out to me is George Foreman from George Foreman's Grill. Did you hear what George Foreman said? Maybe not. So George Foreman, in a recent interview, claimed that Mike Tyson is suffering from psychosis. Quote, "It's temporary insanity," the grill master George Foreman opined. He said, "I liken it to a guy who wants to get on a boat and go out to sea. It seems like so much fun," Foreman said. So peaceful. So he wants to get out there and do it. And then he gets out there and the big waves start coming. The sea is rough and it's raining and the wind is blowing. And he asks himself, "Lord, why did I ever do this?" And Foreman continued. He said, "It happened to so many of us. And you realize," Foreman said, "you should have stayed home on the dry land where everything is nice and safe." He concluded his quote by saying, "The thing that is hard when you start to think of coming back, you remember what you could do back in the day," obviously implying you can no longer do those things. So let us discuss. The money part of that quote is Mike Tyson suffering from psychosis. So, do you agree with George Foreman that Mike Tyson's comeback is a sign of temporary insanity? All right, so I am going to disagree on this. I do not agree with George Foreman. I've got the Walmart groundwork and backfire. And we will combine all of these things together, and we will make some leftovers. For years, I have always believed that my mom made the greatest day after turkey sandwich. I like that more than the actual turkey on Thanksgiving, but that's a personal opinion. Now, number one. Oh, there you go. Strike up the band. So Mike Tyson, you didn't hear the band? I didn't hear it either. So Mike Tyson coming back is absolutely quirky. I will agree with you on that. It is very quirky that Mike Tyson's coming back, but it's not temporary insanity. The reality is that Mike Tyson is actually within the orthodoxy of boxing. Listen, I'm a boxing fan, not a hardcore fan. I like the big fights more than the UFC. But the orthodoxy of boxing is, if you take a step back, this is not even an original idea. Now, he's extended it out a few more years than most boxers who come back in their mid-40s. He's in his mid-50s. But Mike Tyson, he's essentially waiting in line at Walmart behind endless prize fighters who have all decided to go back into the hootenanny and nibble at the squared circle. And I do get a kick out of George Foreman, the very loquacious George Foreman, complaining. I find this amusing. You talk about the tempest in a teapot, the pot calling the kettle black, all of those statements. As far as the Walmart line, George Foreman's ahead of Mike Tyson. And for the neophytes and those that just don't pay attention, George Foreman sat out around 10 years and came back and fought again, became the oldest heavyweight champion in the history of boxing. He won the title. This is in the mid-90s. He was 45 years old, 25, 26 years ago, something like that. He was 48 years old when he last fought in the, I think it was like 97 was the last time he fought. Around that, this is 23 years. And that was against Shannon Briggs. All right, you probably don't know who that is if you don't know the timeline. Now, the second thing here. Now, I do believe in the general philosophy of live and let live with fair criticism. With fair criticism. Mike Tyson is clearly unconcerned about losing some of his legacy. Remember, when Tyson last fought all those years ago, he sucked. He was garbage. He didn't put any effort into it. He was terrible. He had no timing, no footwork, no power. It was a hot mess. So the reality, though, is this. For Mike Tyson, it is a calculated risk with very low risk. It's betting a little and winning a lot and being all but guaranteed. It's betting on Secretariat at the Belmont is what it is, right? You figure, well, Secretariat's got a 30% lead or whatever it is. And so, you just go with it. Meaning there's very little to lose as far as financially and so much to gain. Tyson is guaranteed $10 million. $10 million for Tyson. That's a guarantee. And it's not even a real fight. It's not. I was reading more about it. We talked about it in previous episodes, but from what I was reading here, this is going to be a glorified sparring match and a bunch of grab ass is what it's going to be. The California State Athletic Commission, to sign off on this, laid out very strict guidelines. California has been very popular at giving out strict guidelines here in the year 2020, but this is for a boxing match. The rounds will be 2 minutes long instead of three. The boxers here, the competitors, will both have to wear 12-ounce gloves. There's no headgear, and that was a question whether they'd have to have headgear. There is no headgear. And if either boxer suffers a bad cut, which you would think is a high probability, the night will end. And if this does well, though, here's the other thing about this. The reason it's a calculated risk, because not only will Tyson cash in the $10 million, and some of that, a lot of it, they say, is going to charity. We'll see about that after all expenses are paid. So if this does go well, pay-per-view buys, Mike Tyson is already laying out the roadmap for the next year, year and a half, 2 years. He's doing the groundwork, Mike Tyson, for future money grabs. He is Iron Mike. Said, hey, I'm open to exhibition fights. He said this recently. I'm open to exhibition fights against the top heavyweights in boxing today. You probably don't know who those people are because, most people don't. Although I like Tyson Fury. That was the big fight pre-pandemic. We had Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder. And that was fun. That was a good night. That was a good night of entertainment. I enjoyed that very much. Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder. And then you have Anthony Joshua as well. Now, Tyson says those guys are big crowd pleasers. Don't know that that's actually true. Tyson Fury a little bit. I don't know about Anthony Joshua. Wilder's got his fan base. Now, Mike Tyson has spent a ton of dough to be ripped. He has the body on loan from Adonis. He's seen photos and videos online. He's on this Fugazi diet. He's used stem cell therapy, which is normally reserved for people that have things like cancer, moving blood around. And hey, you might as well milk the cash cow. If you spend all that time getting in shape, why only come back for one fight? Keep going. All right, the last word here. The last word. The only risk for Mike Tyson is that he, and being a distant relative of Nostradamus and a friend of Nostradinus, the risk here is alienating his biggest supporters, right? The people that pay $50 to watch Mike Tyson and then watch a competition instead of an actual fight between Iron Mike and Roy Jones, right? And you're going to pay $50. You do not want to see these guys play patty cake. You don't want to see that. And there's a high probability they play patty cake, right? And this is part of the bigger conversation, the percentage chance that this backfires. And while Tyson's guaranteed to get his money, so how much could it backfire? There are no official judges. That has been confirmed. So you're not going to get, all right, Jim, I had Tyson winning that round 10-9. And we'll check the CompuBox numbers. You're not going to get that. I don't believe you're going to get that as far as the stats and all that. After each round, there's no cumulative score, which you'd normally get in a boxing match, a real boxing match. And the thing that's really going to drive people nuts, and I've looked into my crystal ball as someone who's distantly related to Nostradamus, the fact that there's going to be no winner, and I don't think this is regularly known. It's not advertised. They're not promoting that there's going to be no winner announced. It is out there, but you have to do a little work, a little legwork to find it. So that is going to ruffle feathers on social media. People are going to be PO'd. They're going to be pissed off, and there are going to be people demanding refunds. Right? What did I do? Right? Now, the saving grace for this could be the undercard. Could's a weasel word. Because I am intrigued to see Logan Paul, that annoying YouTube guy, get his face bashed in. And so I'll be pulling for Nate Robinson. But I assume that that's going to be similar to the Tyson fights. There'll be no winner announced. I'm assuming that's how that's going to go. But if you look at the noble art, right? The noble art, they follow the battle cry. In that business, and I've had friends that are the big time boxing people, never give a sucker a break. Never, ever give a sucker a break. Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, I'm a boxing fan. Right? This happens so often with these fights that are total jokes. We saw it with Floyd Mayweather and Conor McGregor, where it was a total sham fight, and McGregor realizing this and hoping that people would not complain, he just didn't even try for the first five rounds of the fight. And then once, it was like the fifth or the sixth round, and once McGregor decided, all right, let's go, it's money time, right? Pedal to the metal, right? Rubber meets the road, all those things. He just was explosive, dominated. It was a neophyte, an amateur against a professional. And fight supporters have a rich history of being pawns in sham fights. There's a big sign in the boxing community, welcome to Suckersville, and that's involving the fans. Now, are you going to pay for this? You should not go to the dark web. You should not go to the dark web and watch this illegally. You should not do that. I hear people are going to do that, but you should not do that. It's wrong. You should not do that at all. All right, it is the Ben Maller Show on a Thanksgiving. Woohoo! Whoop-dee-damn-doo. Whoop-dee-damn-doo. We have Ask Ben coming up later this hour, and that'll be quite the speakeasy event there. If you want to send your questions in care of the Ben Maller Show, use hashtag AskBen. If you don't know how to spell that, you've had a little too much to drink. Just a wee bit too much to drink. Just pointing that out. We're going to have a ball. We're going to have a ball. We'll get to that, and we will do it next.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
There's nothing more powerful than the unified voice of the Maller Militia. Get the most out of the Ben Maller Show following Big Ben on Twitter at Ben Maller, or our technical producer filling in for Roberto. It is Laker Don, and he is on Twitter at Jack_Canes, like the Hurricanes. You can follow him there. Now let's get back to a man who does every one of his fifth hour, or ninth hour podcast, whatever you call it, in only a jockstrap. It's Big Ben.
I don't know how Jimmy Kimmel let you get away. I have no idea.
I know.
God, shocking. It's amazing here. So just to prove I wasn't lying here, I took a photo with my sticker. I have a Parker the Snow Dog sticker. If you want to see what that looks like, Parker's a big star. I'm not making that up. Every time I watch a Bronco game, they show when the Broncos are at home, they have a shot of the Rocky Mountains, snow-capped Rocky Mountains, and then they pan to Parker the Snow Dog wearing glasses and the jersey, and it's just wonder. It's a tradition. The unofficial official mascot of the Broncos. So you can check that out. It's just a logo. That's all it is. It was given to me by Parker the Snow Dog and Parker's friend. Yeah. The burner account writes in, says, Benjamin, this is very important. He's writing in all caps. Benjamin, Mike Tyson has been the most craziest senile boxer I've ever seen. And he's been like that since he jumped on the scene. So does this really surprise anybody? He says, I think there's a word missing there. Hell no. He says B+ on the monologue. And Robin Vegas says, I was looking forward to Tyson versus Roy Jones. That isn't until I started hearing about all these stipulations, like no knockouts. Back in his prime, RJ had the quickest hands in the history of boxing. But once he got knocked the F out by Antonio Tarver, it was all downhill after that. Yeah, like I'm going to possibly check it out. I don't know that I'll be paying for it. I mean, you should pay for it, of course, but maybe I'll go to a friend's house. I shouldn't do that. I don't know. Maybe there's ways I can find it. Maybe there's ways I can find the fight. I'm just throwing that out there. The E-Rocker, Eric the Rocker, says apparently the WBC will be scoring the Tyson fight remotely via Zoom, and the winner will be awarded the frontline battle belt. Yes, I'm sure that will be the case. All right, let's go to the phones right now, and here we go. 877-99 on Fox. Let's go to Buzzkill Brad, who is up next. Hello, Buzzkill Brad.
Your screener got it wrong. It's Buzzkill Brett. Haven't called in for like about 8 months. Just wanted
Where
to check
you been?
In.
When did you get out of jail?
Yeah, I wish. Free air conditioning and food, right? No, just been doing stuff in the dial. I listen to your podcast every day.
Oh, God,
so
it kind of
makes me, you actually get credit for when I listen as opposed to the people listening on the radio overnight. But I've got a question here for you. I get to Ask Ben. You do the hashtag Ask Ben on Twitter, which,
that's
by the
right.
way, I despise social media as well.
So
but if I
want
to participate in the Who Am I and Insta Trivia,
what is the
correct channel to use there for that, Ben?
Well, again, I mean, we use Twitter as a real-time reaction thing. And I just posted a photo on Facebook, and it's on Instagram, of me holding up a bumper sticker for Parker the Snow Dog. And that's more for, like, photos and things. And then I also use the Facebook page for the podcast, the Fifth Hour podcast. Like, if you want to submit a question for the Fifth Hour, we do that on Wednesdays normally on the Facebook page. But the main thing is Twitter. So here's what you do, Brett. Buzzkill Brett, just get a burner account, right? Just get a burner account. That's all you have to do. You don't have to use it. You know, listen, I'm on there because of work. It's the red pill or the blue pill. It's the Matrix. And you've chosen apparently to stay off it, which is good job by you, but I have to do it for my job. And so I'm on there, and I'm not on there as much as I used to be. But so it's not that hard, okay?
All right. Sounds good, Ben. Yep. Right, happy Thanksgiving.
All right. You too, buddy. There you go. Buzzkill Brett. We gave him the wrong name. Let's go to, here's a new one. Chemtrail Daniel is next in San Antonio. Hello, Chemtrail Daniel.
Hey, Ben, what's going on? This is not Daniel, it's Manuel.
Oh, Bo, you're having a tough night here on the phones, Bo.
Yeah, it's Bo. It's all right, Bo. You gotta excuse Bo. He has that voice of Tina from Tina's Burgers. You know, from Bob's Burgers. You know, so you gotta excuse him. Leave him. He's cool. He's all right.
Don't go too far. Don't go too far, buttering.
Yeah, I don't want to go too far. He's a good guy. At least he's better than Cooper. Cooper Loop, man. He doesn't never let me get on the line.
Maybe Coop knows what he's doing.
It's always Bo. I mean, letting me get on the line.
Why will Coop not allow you on the air? What does Coop say?
I have no idea. He just leaves me hanging.
All right. Well, you should take that up with Koopa Loop himself. I don't know what's going on here. I have no control over that, as you know.
Yeah, I know.
So have you been breathing in a lot of chemtrails recently, Daniel?
Yeah, we got jets flying all over the place over here coming out of Lackland Air Force Base. And so... So they're all over the place right now. I think it was because that Boeing finally got the wiring right so that they don't fall down. So now they're fixing them all and putting them all out in the air.
Oh, okay. I got
you. So you guys in California, be careful, man, because, you know, they always go down over there where you guys are.
Well, thank you. Very cool. Actually, air travel, you know, I don't want to jinx anything, but air travel has been very safe. For many years, though. I mean, it's been overall, it's actually safer than driving most of the time. It is. So
true. Yeah, but the thing is, you got to remember, half of the planes were down because Boeing couldn't have another.
I know. I understand.
You got to remember that too.
Okay, I remember. Are you repeating yourself?
You got to call Brian Finley's son, because that's what he always calls Andy Berman. Hey, Dad. Daddy.
Who does he call that? Who does he say that to?
Daddy. Andy Furman.
Brian Furman. He always calls Brian. Adam. No, not Brian. What is his name?
Andy Furman.
Andy Furman.
What are you? He always calls him Daddy. Daddy. He's so bad at this, Finley. He's so bad, he's correcting the... No, that was funnier the way he did it. See, I got to teach you comedy. That's a bad job by you. And you know, chemtrail guy, that Brian has a lot of nicknames. He's the butcher. He's the buckaroo. He learned that one. He used the term that he actually got in trouble for. We don't like to talk about this taboo. Yeah, on the air. He got the nickname buckaroo. He's the Ned Flanders, Oakley Dokley Doo at the news desk. Wonder Bread of radio and Quaker Oats.
Yeah. Quaker Oats.
That's right.
Yeah, Ben has a lot of nicknames too. The king of clowns.
That hurts. That hurts over here on the south side, man.
All right, south side.
You got to be careful.
I got to go. Thank you, though. I appreciate that. We're about to hear Brian run off some of his jokes that he wrote. Stay up all day doing that? Were you up all day writing the jokes?
No, I do it off the cuff. Yeah, I'm pretty quick with how I am able to get those across. Sometimes you have to write them out, but you know, you do your thing. You do you.
Well, you do have a reputation for being rather quick, even when you're not supposed to be. So, I mean, it happens. It happens.
Oh, well done, sir.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Let's go to Chris in Houston. Hello, Christopher in Houston.
You know, it's a such thing as being overprepared, right? Because, Brian, what are you doing, man? I got a real question for you, Brian. Where you at, Brian? I need to hear you.
I'm right here, my friend. I'm right here. I'm listening to you.
Are you a virgin?
I was gonna not say it, but I actually.
I'll go with the porn star.
Yeah,
I am.
We can tell. The militia can tell. It's a reason you talk too much.
I talk too much, and that goes against me and my chances.
You're well on too much, man. Look, you are the update anchor. You don't let you're not supposed to let Ben control the conversation. You're supposed to kind of like stay in your lane. Don't let Ben take you off the path.
You know, it's funny. I hear that all the time from people, and they usually spell my name wrong on Twitter when they say "stay in your lane."
Well, you would admit,
are you related to Marcel?
Calm down. You would admit that you are long-winded, right? That you've never learned in your education. You never learned the word brevity. That is not
long,
a word.
Long-winded
that you...
is a bad term for him, Ben. More like long-winded.
Yeah.
Torturous would be another word that we could.
I'm gonna have to have a conversation with Miss Finley, though, man. Me and Miss Finley had a conversation. Okay. She raised you a little bit too wrong, Brian. Were you raised in a bubble?
Was I raised in a bubble? No, I was not raised in a bubble, Chris. Why would
then
you ever
think
that?
Why in heck have you ever seen The Simpsons? What's wrong with you? I'm out.
All right, there you go. Thank you, buddy.
Wow.
Rock 'em. Good. Preach on, my man. Spread the gospel. That's a sermon from Chris. He was
evangelizing. You know what Chris doesn't admit is that you interject in all my updates, which prolong my updates. You never take credit for that, Ben. You are part of the blame, my friend, and you know it. You're in denial.
This is, again, playing the blame game here. No accountability. No accountability, which is not surprising. You know, I'm a big accountability guy, right? Not you. Johnny come lately. No.
It's a millennial thing.
It's excuses and alibis and all that nonsense, right? My God. Why don't you just ask for a mea culpa and we'll move on? How about that? Just, you know what? I've screwed up. You're right, Ben. I've effed up. Blame nobody. Right? Blame nobody. Expect nothing. Do something. Give a mea culpa. We'll give you one. Come on.
It's not good radio if you perform like that. Come on.
How would you know what good radio is? I've yet to hear good radio. How would you know good radio?
Because I do good radio in L.A. with my other show I do. And you know that. You've heard me on the radio, Ben. You even gave
me
a compliment.
I've never heard you on
yes,
the radio.
Yes, you have. You are a liar. You've tweeted at me about it.
I did not listen to that at all.
Yeah, no. Well.
No. I like that you warn us when that show's coming on, though. I do appreciate that.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Most definitely.
That's a public service announcement. You're a chronic complainer, by the way. You realize that? You are a chronic complainer.
Isn't every one of your monologues complaining? And
no,
by the way,
I am helping people out. I was giving advice. I was pointing out what was going to happen. That Mike Tyson monologue, I pointed out people are going to be upset. They're going to be angry. I'm predicting over the weekend on Saturday night, there'll be a groundswell of people. Oh, I got screwed. I can't believe I paid for that crap. And that's going to spread like a wildfire all over social media.
By the way, you have done more monologues on Chris's Houston Astros than the number of times that you've brushed your teeth. Yeah. And you'd think by now you'd listen
to your
wife.
Oh, that's another joke, you gutless puke. That's another joke from Brian Finley over there. How about you go out and get a date? How about that? My God.
Oh, I got that taken care of, my friend.
You are such an omega.
Let me tell you.
You are such an omega. My God. We need alphas, not omegas. I need dogs, not cats. You're a cat.
You're
Bad
a self-proclaimed introvert. How can you be an alpha if you're a self-proclaimed introvert?
Now you're wasting time. Is there any way we can skip this 27-minute filibuster? How many people do you think are jonesing for college basketball scores the first day of the college basketball season? Anyone? Newman? Hello? Brian will give them. Anyway, here we go. Yeah. Let's get the torture over with right now. It's like waterboarding. Brian Finley.
Thank you so much, Daddy. The NFL has rescheduled Thanksgiving night's Ravens-Steelers matchup to Sunday because of 7 COVID-19 positive results inside the Baltimore organization. The Ravens are punishing an anonymous staffer for demeaning coronavirus protocols. After hearing this news, Steeler tight end Eric Ebron, knowing that he's not going to be able to play during that normally scheduled Thursday time, he said, quote, "I'm not going to lie, NFL, this is bull blank." Close quote. He didn't say bull blank. I think you can fill
what
in
word
the
did
blank.
He say? What
oh,
word
I'm not going to go there, but
what
it's
did
a four-letter
it
word. It started
it
with
start?
An S. And well, ended
it started
with
an
a
S?
D. Yes.
We should be able to say that word.
I
We're all grown-ups here.
Why don't you go ahead and do that for me? But
I
I'm
was
not.
Sailing in a ship is what I was doing. That's what I was doing. And I was eating a chip.
Yeah, well, you are a Clippers fan, although I don't think you have much time where you'll be able to use hair clippers anymore, if you know what I mean.
Well, you are a hockey fan, so I say puck you is what I say.
Wow, that's really smart. You're just taking the name of Eddie's podcast. And how would you know I'm a hockey fan, by the way? I've never talked about hockey
on
this show.
Continue,
by
please.
The way,
end
the Oklahoma,
torture.
West
what
Virginia.
What did I do in another life to deserve this crap? I mean, seriously. You are the reason I will start taking all holidays off from now on. And people, you guys are going to complain. You say, why is Mallor not here?
He's corporate.
I'll say two words. Brian Finley. That's why. That's it. I will use you as the fall guy because I don't need the headache. I do not need the headache.
Once again, you prove that you are the high priest of hypocrisy because now you are blaming me when you said I'm the one that plays the blame game. Gotcha right there, big guy.
Oh,
meanwhile,
gotcha. Oh, you win the gotcha trophy. Oh, wee. You win the gotcha trophy. Oh, my God.
Well, the only trophy you won was for ninth place in fourth grade cup stacking. Meanwhile, the Oklahoma West
Virginia. Oh, my God.
The Oklahoma.
Woe is me. Victim mentality. Brian Finley right there wallowing in victimhood.
Not at all. Not at all.
Yeah.
The Oklahoma West Virginia football game scheduled for Saturday will now kick off on December 12th.
It is amazing. There's hardly anything going on today, and you're still going. Shocking.
Well, I thought you said I finished things quickly. I guess I still go. And I'll leave that right there. To college basketball on Wednesday.
Oh, my God, college basketball.
Jeremiah Robinson-Earl saving number three Villanova.
I don't know who that is.
In the second half.
Cats go to work in the half-court set. Swider has it on the left wing.
Now finds no Robinson-Earl.
Pull-up jumper is good from 17 feet from the left wing.
That is the case, yes.
Could they not afford piped-in crowd noise? Are they stupefied by that? My God, how bad does that sound? It sounds like he's in a broom closet and he's doing the play-by-play. That's what I sounded like when I do play-by-play watching a game on TV when I was a kid.
Well, if you did your show from the urinal, it would be the same thing. But UCLA,
you don't know when to just let it breathe. You don't know. You're such a ragbag. You don't know when to just let it breathe.
You don't let it breathe in radio because people can't see it. It's not television. If you're broadcasting, I can teach you about some television broadcast stuff if you'd like me to.
I was on the NBC Sports Network for a solid year. Ragamuffin, how dare you?
I was on the four-letter network about a month ago.
I haven't watched that since I was a kid. When they got rid of Keith Olbermann the first time and Dan Patrick, I stopped watching.
Yeah.
Yep.
And finally, I guess I might as well give the score of that game. I know we probably talked about it a minute ago.
Going, you varmint.
Villanova winning 76-67 against Boston College, the number three team in the land. Let's get back to Big Ben.
All right, thank you there, Brian Finley. He's visiting us from the Island of Idiots. We're glad that he was able to make it here. I know traveling's kind of tough there, but we thank you. Very nice of you to make it. It is the Ben Maller Show as we do press on. And here's one of those stories that we hope happens. Don't know that it will. We don't know that it will, but we hope it happens. It involves having a ball. Having a ball. That would be the legendary LeVar Ball. Now, his son was drafted by the Charlotte Hornets this week. And there has been some talk that LeVar Ball would, he had said in the past, he would beat Michael Jordan in a one-on-one game. In fact, 3 years ago, he guaranteed it. And talked about how his DNA is better than Jordan because his kids are in the NBA and Jordan's kids are not. And then Jordan responded to it, and they had this back and forth, the yin to the yang. And so here we are, and LaMelo is now a Charlotte Hornet. Dreams have come true. And so now people have been bringing up, hey, how about this? How about LeVar versus Jordan? Well, LeVar was asked about that. He was at some charity event in Southern California. And he told a paparazzo from TMZ that he would play Michael Jordan under one very expensive condition. He said, quote, "You're going to see me and Mike play for the small price of blank." You want to take a guess how much money LeVar Ball would like to play Michael Jordan in a pay-per-view situation? All right, well, anyone want to take a guess here?
$1 million.
$1 million. All right, that's a lot of money. Bo the show, how much do you think Michael Jordan would like, or not Michael Jordan, LeVar Ball would like to play Michael Jordan in a pay-per-view event?
How much would he like to do it, or how much would it
cost? Yeah, I'm repeating a quote here, fill in the blank. All right, LeVar said that you would see me and Mike, meaning LeVar and Mike, for the small price of blank million. On pay-per-view.
I think it was something like $20 million, wasn't it?
All right, you're going to go $20 million. Don, would you like in on this, Don?
I'm going $15.
$15 million. You should have gotten $21 million, Don. Price is Right, Showcase Showdown rules. You should have gotten $21 million. The correct answer, LeVar Ball said $200 million. $200 million.
Not that far off.
He said if it's a dollar short, we're not playing. Said, whenever they come up with $200 million, I'll be ready to put my shoes back on and give you one more game. That's the quote. Oh, man. Here's the thing on this. Jordan could come up with $200 million. He could, with Nike And, like, I don't know anyone would actually pay for Jordan versus LaVar Ball, but the Jordan brand at Nike and that Nike money, you know, and Michael Jordan could pay for himself, but why would he do that? It would make no sense. And obviously LaVar doesn't have the money to put up, but Michael Jordan is worth $1.6 billion because of Nike. And that means he could give LaVar Ball $200 million. He'd still be worth $1.4 billion. I think of some other things that were probably a better use of money. I'm just pointing that out. All right, let's sneak a phone call in here. Let's go to Hollerin' James in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Hello, Hollerin' James.
Hey, Brian, don't take none of Ben's calls.
Yes! Yes!
Bogo! Yes! Stop! Get him off the air!
Dad!
Get him off the air! Oh, Bo!
Hey, Dad!
Bo. Oh, my God.
Oh, that was my dad.
Bo, I know you hate the show and you don't listen to the show, but, I mean, it's pretty embarrassing that you thought that was Hollering James. I mean, come on.
And I should have known something was up when he wasn't snoring. That's my bad.
I mean,
Brian's dad is awake at 1:42.
He and I, we walk our dogs together.
I know in a parallel dimension when people fill in, sometimes they would actually know some of the things on the show occasionally. Oh my God, what are you doing? I mean, seriously, you thought Angry Bill, the lunatic in Florida, was the iconic Hollering James. Oh my God. All right. Well, stop. I need a breather. We'll have Ask Ben. Your questions are answers for the rest of the hour. I can only imagine what Bo the show is going to come up with for those questions. We'll get to Ask Ben. Keep them coming in, and we'll get to that, and we will do it next.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific.
Everyday sports radio listeners and super fans of the Maller Militia can not only hear this program live 2 a.m. to 6 a.m. Eastern, but also 24/7 on demand via the podcast. Tell your family and friends about this sports talk revolution. Subscribe to the Ben Maller Show podcast on iTunes. Give us a 5-star review. It's risk-free and helps keep the lights on. Now let's get back to the show. And Big Ben, who on weekends moonlights in an up-and-coming castrato singing group.
It's now time for.
Well, hurry, I can hardly wait.
Ask Ben.
Twitter!
Send us your questions on Twitter now.
I know things might be depressing because it's Thanksgiving and you're listening to a cheeseball radio show in the middle of the night. That can be disheartening and demoralizing, but we will cheer you up with Ask Ben. That's right. Your questions are answers for the rest of the hour. And now a man who doesn't know the difference between Hollering James and Angry Bill, the breathtaking and heartbreaking Bo the Show.
All right. All right. So this one is from Raider Freak, and he asks, Ben, have you ever been asked to fill in for Colin Cowherd, and would you?
Oh God, no. No. They would get the janitor at Fox Sports Raider to fill in for Colin Cowherd. No, they don't ask me to fill in on any of these shows. And I actually, to be fair to management, I like doing this show. I wanted to get my own show. I worked my way up in radio. I have it. Why would I want to do someone else's show? Now, I will admit, those shows pay more, and they're daytime shows, so more people hear them. But no, I love doing my show, and really be honest with you, though, Raider Freak, part of it is I'd have my bosses breathing down my neck. Could you imagine the crap that they would tell me? I don't think that management, if they actually heard this show on a regular basis, would embrace the nonsense that we do. And I don't even know if that stuff would play during the day. There's a lot of buttoned up people that work 9 to 5. You know, I'm more into the overnight, around the clock kind of attitude for the people that they're working all night. All right, next.
All right. So this one comes from Romo Blank for Life. For the crew, and he says, after the Spurs Game 6 loss in the 2013 NBA Finals, he got into a fist fight at a bar he was at. Have any of us gotten into an altercation after a loss by our favorite team?
No. I have something. You know, it's unpreventable. Your favorite team is going to blow it at some point. I mean, there's only one team that wins every year, right? So it's going to happen. It's a customary thing. And certainly for my teams, more times than not, I'm still regaling the Dodgers winning the World Series. But what I do is I come in here and I use radio therapy and I just scream and shout and condemn and all that for about 15, 20 minutes. And then I feel better. And I get those thoughts out, and I fire the manager, I fire the coach, I trade the star player, and then that's it. So what about you, Finley?
I was over at the Maller Mansion once, and...
Oh, here we go. Story
Ben
time. Fiction.
Decked me...
Fiction.
While I wasn't expecting it. You decked me right in the head. You knocked me out cold for like 30 seconds.
Is that why you're not getting an invite this year? Interesting.
Boom, chaka-laka.
Well, nor is anybody.
That's not true. There might be a speakeasy edition of the Ugly Sweater Party, but I don't know that you'll get the password. Just saying. Let's see. Don, have you ever been in a fight, Don, as a grown-up? You ever been in a fight over one of your teams?
That is a negative.
Yeah. What are your teams, by the way, Don?
The Miami Hurricanes is my first favorite team. Definitely a Laker.
Oh, my God, another Laker fan.
That is a
prerequisite to work at Fox Sports Radio, apparently. My God. Can they please hire some damn Clipper fans?
No go. And I love the Texans, and I'm a Dodger bandwagon
Texans?
Fan.
That is such a hodgepodge of teams. My God. Where did you grow up, Don?
Virginia.
Oh, Virginia. Well, didn't like the Redskins or the
Negative.
Orioles or Negative. Anything. No.
And I hate Virginia Tech. I'm not even going to say the absolutely horrid thing I used to say back in the day about Tech, but I got you.
Okay. Learning about Don. All right, what about you there, Bo the show?
No, I got mad at my pillow after game four of the World Series this year, but got over that pretty quickly. So yeah, I can't say I've ever been into a physical fight over sports.
Bo, just between us, that audio, and I know because I've done it, you can edit that audio, what you just said about the pillow, and that can make you look really bad. You know, with the proper editing, Bo, you might want to delete that.